So I'm not really well. So let's just have, you know, something very short. Yeah. Investigation of feelings. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody smiles already. And we start with the investigation of painful feelings or unpleasant feelings. Easier. Yeah. Medjilata. Go kapkuti kodai, na? Dia mide pasanket. Oh ja, fang pasanket, go fang dai. Investigation of feelings, yeah, unpleasant feelings, yeah, because it's easier to stay with them. The first thing we have to do is we have to like them. Yeah. We normally dislike unpleasant feelings, so we start, you know, investigation of painful feelings when we sit, yeah, when we sit in meditation. We breathe it in, yeah, feel how it feels, yeah. We want to know how the feeling feels, so that for later on that then we can compare it with other feelings. Yeah. And then, we look where it's originating from. Yeah? I mean, the painful feelings, you know, when we sit in meditation for an hour or for 2 hours, yeah, yeah, painful feelings are coming. Yeah? So we look where it is. Yeah? Because we know when we get up, the painful feeling is gone. So that is not the solution. Yeah? Also with painful feelings, yeah, we don't listen to anything that comes from the kilesa, who tells us we break our leg or we ruin our body or we do this or that, yeah? Because that is not, yeah? And the most important thing for these unpleasant feelings is that we don't want them to go away. We want to know what they are. We want to understand, yeah, the true meaning of the feeling that we feel. Yeah? And for that we have to stay with it, yeah, until we understand it. So, for painful feelings when it comes, you know, when we sit in meditation, then we look where it is originating from. Yeah? We go to that place with our concentration, and then look, yeah. The first thing that we investigate is, yeah, anicca anatta dukkha, yeah. Anicca, it's just impermanent. Yeah? Is it changing? We have to realize it is changing. Yeah? It's not always constant. Nothing in this universe is constant. So we look, yeah. We look for a while, you know, I mean, how the feeling changes from low to high or from high to low. Yeah, and then we want to know where it is, yeah. Where it is actually located. Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the... In this, what do you call it? Sen en kaduk. Is it in the muscles? Is it in the tendons? Yeah? Where is it? Yeah? I mean, we have tendons, we have muscles, we have flesh, you know, we have skin since we are born, yeah? And we know when we get up, the pain is gone. Hmm? So, I mean, where actually is it originating from? And the closer we come, then it changes, you know, then, yeah? It will disappear on its own and arise someplace else, yeah. And then we do the same thing, yeah. We do the same thing at the other place, yeah. I mean, before it was in the left knee, you know, now it is in the right knee, and then it goes to the back, you know, and then it goes to the neck, and wherever it goes, you know, we follow it until it shows us where it's coming from, yeah. Because it's not within this body, yeah. It doesn't arise within this body. So if we can stay, you know, if we don't wish, and the most important thing is, we don't wish it to go away. Yeah? If the moment we have a thought, I don't want it, I don't like it, I mean, our investigation is over. We cannot really investigate it. So, start to like it. Yeah? I mean, there are people in this world who like pain. Yeah? They are called masochists, yeah? So, there's nothing wrong with liking some pain, yeah. Because if you dislike it, if you want to, want for it to go away, then we cannot investigate it where it's actually originating from. And the important thing of this kind of investigation of painful feelings is that later on, you know, we can investigate all sorts of unpleasant feelings that arise. For instance, anger or greed, yeah? we can feel it. Huh? When we feel we are overcome by greed, you know, let's see, you know, how does it feel like? Huh? How does the greed, you know, is different, the feeling of greed is different from the feeling of pain? Yeah? How is the feeling of anger different from the feeling of greed? Yeah? How is it different? You know, we want to compare it. Yeah? But in order to be able to compare it, you know, we have to really, truly feel it, yeah? And know it. Yeah? And then, you know, for the other feelings, you know, I mean, we can also already start, you know, we can already start with dukkha vedana, with a painful feeling when we sit in meditation. Then we can recollect what came before, yeah, what came before this painful feeling. What kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, what came before these thoughts or memories, what kind of thoughts, yeah. And the most important thing is we don't listen to any answers that come from the kilesas, yeah. I'm sitting not correctly. Oh, I mean, I'm going to ruin my body. All these thoughts, you know, we leave it until there's no more answer coming. Every answer that is coming, you know, I mean, we contradict, you know. I mean, say, either we say not sure, or, you know, I mean, that has been, you know, that's not true, or, yeah, whatever you want, yeah, until there's no more answer coming, yeah. And then, yeah, most of the time we know. And that is also important for feeling, you know, of greed, you know, or anger that arises. What came before? Was it an image? Was it a memory? Or was it this? Or was it that? Yeah. Because we want to understand. Yeah. We really want to understand how this construct that we call ourselves is working. Yeah. How the computer, you know, I mean, the computer is working. Yeah. Otherwise, we will never, yeah, we will never be able to understand what is going on, yeah. And this is something, you know, in meditation we want to understand. Yeah? There's a feeling, there's a thought, you know, the thought, you know, attached to the thought is a feeling, you know, it's up to the feeling, and memory comes, you know, with the memory comes also a feeling, you know, it adds up, yeah. And, you know, within the blink of an eye, there's a full emotion, yeah. We want to understand that. We want to see the avalanche, you know, and go back to the stone that caused the avalanche. Yeah? And if it can stop it, you know, in whatever time, you know, I mean, the sooner we can stop it, the better. Yeah? And then we can see, well, what is it? What is the cause? Yeah? What is the cause for this avalanche to erupt? Yeah? Doubt, you know, doubt can be, you know, what is the feeling of doubt? What is the feeling of restlessness? Yeah? What is the feeling of fear? Yeah, I mean, investigate it. Just don't put a label on it, you know, and said, okay, now I have to do this or that, yeah, because that is our conditioning, yeah, that is our programming, and we don't want to be conditioned, yeah. I mean, if you remember what the Lord Buddha called Nibbana, he called it the unconditioned. There are no conditions anymore. Yeah? There's just this pure, yeah, being. Yeah? So we don't want to be conditioned. You know, if fear arises, now what am I going to do? Or if pain arises, now I get up. Yeah? Or you know, go to the doctor, go see a doctor, or, you know, take this medicine or take that medicine. No, we want to break this conditioning, yeah? And want to understand what really is going on, and how we can deal with it. We deal with it today in this way, and tomorrow when a similar feeling arises in a different way. That means we are unconditioned. Yeah? We are free for whatever is happening, you know, and if we have sati, you know, we see the way out, yeah. We see the proper, yeah, the proper reaction towards it, or the proper action. And this proper action or reaction can be a non-action, yeah. So, do you understand that? If you have questions, you know, please go ahead and ask. Yeah. I really don't have. Yeah, yeah.
How helpful is it to deliberately induce like feelings or emotions instead of just having them come naturally, just to be able to see like how it? For example, is it useful for me to like purposefully induce anger or hatred instead of just letting it come? Then observe it.
Yes, you can do that. The best way, you know, to induce anger is to open up your body and look at it. Yeah, that's how we learn how to deal. You know, investigation of the body or investigation of a super brings up anger, but not during the meditation, but after the meditation.
After, okay.
Yeah.
So this is the same when I would like to investigate, like. Happiness?
No, don't go yet to.
Okay.
That is much more difficult. I mean, it is extremely difficult because instantly the mind goes off. Yeah. I mean, unpleasant feeling is something that we don't like, you know, and they stay longer. Yeah. Pleasant feeling, you know, boop, you know, and you don't even see, you know, how fast the mind goes on, you know, in memories and, you know, and yeah. I mean, you see it with the food, yeah. If there's some nice food, boop, the mind is gone.
Oh, okay, so...
If the food is not pleasant, you know the mind stays on, no?
Oh, see
Yeah. Yes, it is helpful, you know, but... and then also see, you know, what brings up the anger, yeah? Okay. I mean, a memory of, you know, of sometimes, you know... A year ago or 3 months ago, you know, I mean, where you really got pissed at something, you know, and then you can investigate it, what actually caused the anger, yeah? You can bring up anger, you can feel it, and then, you know, then told back, you know, what actually brought up this anger, yeah? And then you can correct that, yeah? Because most of the time it's just a view, or it's an opinion that we have that, yeah? This should be like this, that should be like that, you know. This is what I think, you know. I mean, this is what I think is right, and, you know, other people think it's wrong. I mean, that is what brings up normally anger, you know, or frustration, yeah.
The reason I ask that is sometimes these things, there's so many aspects of them that I'd like to investigate, so why not bring them up deliberately?
Yeah, it's okay, you know, but... Know what brings it up, yeah? And then once you know it brings it up, then feel it, you know, and then go back what is actually the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Although because once you have eliminated the root cause, the anger doesn't come up anymore.
Yeah, I won't try that.
Huh? Yeah, okay.
I'm kind of afraid, though, that... I may be fooled into thinking that this is the same qualitative anger, but then it might be slightly different, like during a different time.
Yeah, I mean, don't do it for 12 hours, you know? I mean, do it, you know, do it for half an hour or, you know, once a day, you know?
Oh, it makes it manageable then.
Yeah. You give it a time limit, otherwise you are really fooled, yeah? Then the Kilesas think, you know, I mean, you're progressing, but actually you're regressing.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Mm.
So keep it on a time limit, yeah?
It requires a lot of honesty.
What?
It requires a lot of honesty, and sometimes I don't even know if I'm honest with myself. So.
No, I mean, the Kilesas always try to fool us. You know, we see, you know, see something is working, you know, and then, you know, then suddenly it stopped working because the Kilesas already understood, you know, the principle. And then they use it, you know, and tell you it's working, but it's not working against them. It's working for them. Yeah. So don't do it, you know, don't overdo it, you know, set a time limit and that's it. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, anybody else? Yeah?
Could you give an example of what you mean with destroying an unpleasant feeling with a pleasant one?
Yeah, that is the end of a super practice, yeah? I mean, you, for instance, you know, I mean, lust is coming up, yeah? And lust is always bound to an object. So you turn this object into something that is, you know, disgusting. And then, you know, then the opposite feeling is coming up, you know, I mean, anger is coming up. Huh? And then you look at this disgusting object and turn it into a nice and pleasant object, yeah? And then lust is coming up, or greed is coming up, yeah? But that is for later on, yeah? First learn how to deal with these feelings, you know? We want to understand feelings, yeah? And feeling of fear, you know, feeling of doubt, you know, I mean, feeling of restlessness. That is all the things, you know, all the things that we constantly have, actually, yeah? The restlessness, yeah? What is restlessness, yeah? The moment you concentrate on restlessness and want to investigate restlessness, restlessness is gone. What is boredom? What is the feeling of boredom? I mean, there are so many things that we can investigate, you know, before we can, yeah, change things into others. Yeah? That is more, you know, with the practice for supa, you know, I mean, really, you know, digging down into to the loathsomeness of this body, yeah. Okay, any more questions? Yeah?
You know about, so just now you say that you feel aversion to something and the anger comes up.
Yeah?
Now, say if you have aversion to something, but yeah, there's no anger come up, but you still like something happened and you don't feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it, but yeah. I'm not angry, but I just don't
no.
like it.
Yes, this but aversion is a form of anger.
But then I don't like.
Yeah, you can look at the aversion.
Still aversion.
Yeah, feel aversion. How does it feel like? Yeah. I mean, sometimes we can even ask ourselves.
I can't be bothered with this sort of thing. Finish,
what?
I just felt like I can't be bothered with this. Just let it go, you know.
Yeah, but what do you let go? You cannot let go of aversion, but you can let go of the reason, you know. You can let go of the cause of aversion. Yeah. And then aversion, of course, dies. Yeah. But then you investigate, because the next time the aversion still comes up, and, yeah, then you ask, why am I bothered with it? Because I think this should be done in this way, and that should be done in that way. So this, then you have to change this. Yeah? Yeah? And then the aversion is not coming up. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, Thailand is a very good place, you know, for learning this, you know, because everybody does things differently, you know, and we can learn from it. Yeah? We have our ideas how things are done. Yeah? Especially, you know, when you're German, you know, you think this must be this must be like this must be like that. I mean, you come to Thailand, everything is different, yeah? You can learn a lot, you know? In the beginning, of course, aversion comes up, you know, or, you know, oh, this should be done like that. That is a form of aversion, yeah? Dislike is a form of anger, yeah? So, yeah? Go to the root cause, you know? The view that you have about how things are should be done, yeah? That doesn't mean that you, yeah? I mean, if you see somebody does something wrong, that doesn't mean that that you cannot, you know, that you cannot show, yeah? Yeah? Or kindly, you know, yeah? Tell him, you know, maybe this is a better way. If he listens, fine. If he doesn't listen, it's also fine. Yeah, but we don't want, you know, we don't want this aversion to come up. So we want to find the cause for this aversion, or for this specific aversion to come up. Yeah? And that's why we deal with our views and opinions that we have on this thing. Yeah.
Actually, most of the time I know the cause. And it's through the view and the opinion.
Everybody of us has it, you know. So, and it is very difficult. And the more, the deeper they are, you know, the more difficult it is. Huh? I remember, you know, I had to battle, you know, one view or opinion I had, you know, for months, you know. That, no, this is not true. Yes, it is true. No, it is not true. Yes, it is true. until it really subsided, and then it was gone. Yeah, so it's not easy, you know. And these are our intrinsic characteristics, yeah, that we build up, you know, over lifetimes, yeah. And then they are more difficult to get at. Yeah. Okay. So, anything else?
I have another question.
Breathe in, feel it, like it. Oh, wow, now I have a really stable meditation object.
Yeah.
It won't go away. Yeah. So, I mean, it's much better than our breath, much better than our Buddha. Huh?
Yeah. Sometimes it's like,
sway. Yes. But look, what also for that, you know, before you become tired, investigate what
sometimes
is tired.
I'm not even tired, it's just lazy.
Then investigate what the feeling of laziness, yeah? What is behind laziness? Actually, you're bored.
Yeah, that's not sure.
Yes, yeah? Look at it. Yeah? Yeah? We are bored, you know, we are bored with the Buddha, you know, and we don't want to follow the Buddha anymore. And that is actually turns into laziness, huh?
Yeah, I'll try to investigate.
Try to investigate. We have to understand.
It might be worse, I don't know. Yeah. I have a question, though. It kind of ties into boredom, I suppose. So, during asubha, sometimes what I do is I just take out the elements and then bring them back in. But then it becomes like enjoyable. I don't know if that's useful.
That's okay. Okay. But what element?
The fire element.
No. Deal with the real thing, you know. Cut off your hand, you know, and then throw it out, you know, and then take it back. Yeah.
Most of the time, that's what I do. Yeah. Sometimes I just, I don't know, some want to try something.
No. I mean, with the element, you have to work differently.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the fire element. You know, I mean, the temperature going out, you know, I mean, you cannot feel
turning
it.
Turning into sludge and something.
With the element, you have to, I mean, we normally, you know, when we take an organ, you know, I mean, we dissect it, you know, see, you know, I mean, just like a knife, you know, I mean, you cut it, when you have a sharp knife, you cut a tomato and you see the structure of it. We want to see the structure, for instance, of the liver or of the kidney or of the, well, whatever it is, yeah, or of the lungs, you know, and then compare it, you know, the structure of the lungs and the structure of the kidney, how different are they? When you do it with the elements, then you have, you know, then you have to observe, you know, and let it disperse in all four elements. Not only one element.
Oh, because sometimes I just want to see, like, let's see what's taking
the sound. No, that's not, that is delusion.
Okay.
That's just playing around.
Yeah, it is.
That is playing around.
It's enjoyable.
No. You have to concentrate on the object, you know, be it liver or be it kidney, you know, and then, yeah, I want to see, you know, how much earth element, yeah, what is the percentage of earth element it? What is the percentage of air element? What is the percentage of the fire element? What is the percentage, you know, of the water element?
It might be too difficult for me.
Yes. See, I mean, you want to see it, you know. I mean, you think, you know, I mean, for instance, people think that thoughts, yeah, they're also composed of these four elements. It's difficult to see, yeah. Everything in this universe is composed of these four elements, yeah. And in Nibbana, there are no more thoughts, you know, I mean, so.
So, what if I,
memories.
So, I guess it would also be, like during asubha, if some feeling comes up, I could investigate that.
No?
Or should I stay
with? Yeah.
Okay.
You just note the feeling, but you continue your investigation. It's the same thing with samadhi practice. I mean, you know, a feeling comes up, you know, if you get calm, you know, a feeling of calm comes up, but we don't stray away to the feeling of calm. We stay with the Buddha or we stay with the breath.
You don't investigate the calm.
No.
I haven't done that yet.
No? And we don't investigate the pity or investigate happiness or joy, yeah? Because that's when our meditation stops.
Oh, yeah, because it then changes the meditation.
Yeah. When we do samatha, the only time we can investigate a feeling is the painful feeling, yeah? because it is more, yeah, it's more predominant than, you know, than our Buddha or the breath, yeah. Okay? So, okay, I think there was one question. Yeah. If you don't have any more questions, Pradit? No? Isn't he called Pradit? Were you asleep?
No.
No.
I didn't know you were referring to me.
No, no, I mean, I was asking if you have some question.
Not right now.
No. Okay.
Does the sense of self constructed by thought, feeling, and memory experience ever disappear? Or does it just cease to be relevant or any more important or significant than anything else?
Yeah, both answers are correct. I mean, the higher you go up the ladder, the less, you know, the less sense of self you have. And of course, you know, in Nibbana, the sense of self completely disappears. But, yeah, in Paranibbana, yeah, it is mostly in Paranibbana, because even if you are an arahant, you know, you have to refer to yourself as something, yeah? So you have to, you still have, you know, you still have the, I don't know what to call it. It's not the sense of self, you know, like most people think about personality. Yeah, it is, you know, I mean, it's the things, you know, it's your memories, it's your feelings, you know, but, you know, there are memories and there are feelings and there are, yeah, experiences, you know, that you had, you know, you can refer to yourself. But this, the self that we normally talk about it, you know, I mean, it was very, very easy to view, you know, with Lungta Mahabua, yeah? I mean, when you approached him, he wasn't there. There's no defense, you know, there's no defense of self, yeah? You could approach him very closely, you know? And the moment he was in action, you know, the self was, you know, was there. All his mental faculties, you know, or memories, or, you know, things, or even feelings were there, yeah? And the moment he stopped to talk, you know, he was gone, yeah? He was not there anymore, yeah? I mean, it's very difficult to explain it, you know, but I think, you know, I mean, both of them, you know, you can say it's correct. But the best thing is just go the path. You will see for yourself. I mean, people, an arahant still has to refer him to him to himself. So he said Lungta Mahabua, you know, when he referred to him, yeah, or just Lungta, you know, or, you know, whatever, yeah. Sometimes he called himself, you know, the little boy Bua, yeah, yeah, when he wanted to make a joke, you know, I mean, he wanted to, yeah. Because there's nothing, you know, there's nothing there, you know. The self, you know, when we talk about the self, you know, it's constantly changing, you know. When we are babies, you know, I mean, we have a sense, you know, we have a sense, you know. When we go to school, we have a different kind of sense of self. When we are adults, you know, when we start working, we have a different kind of sense of self, yeah. When we are in a relationship, we have a different sense of self, you know, and so on and so on. It's constantly changing. So there's nothing that is constant. Just like I said in the beginning, I mean, everything is changing. Feelings are changing, you know, memories are changing, yeah. Thoughts are changing, yeah. We don't have always the same thoughts, yeah. We don't always have the same memories. So these things are changing, yeah. So what would you call, you know, because people in the West, you know, call themselves self. This is my personality. But the personality has changed over the 20 years. So which personality is the true personality? And that's what people refer to as self, yeah. And this has never been true, yeah. And the longer you go along the path, you know, the more you investigate, for instance, the body not being self, you know, I mean, the less you refer to yourself as a fixed personality. But people in the world always, you know, I mean, refer to themselves. I'm like this, I'm like that, yeah. And that's what brings them in a lot of problems, yeah? Some people like the way that I am. Other people like not the way that I am. Yeah, and you constantly have to defend a construct that is actually, you know, it's just a delusion. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of strength today. So, if there are any more pressing questions, you know, then ask them. Otherwise, we go back to our kuti and just practice. Okay?